Hello, everyone, and welcome to Season 5 of Goddamn GameCube. If you like our show, please leave us a rating on Spotify and subscribe on YouTube. Thank you, and enjoy today's episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Goddamn GameCube. This is going to be another installment of Nostalgia Bros, but I feel like this one is going to be more like the Sad Bros. Because today we're going to be talking about The Good and the Bad and the Ugly, which is what happened to the Rayman franchise after the original trilogy. There's some good, there's some bad, there's some ugly. Nick the intern, Nick my brother, if you could lead the way here and maybe give the audience maybe some insight into the structure of this. Go ahead.
Sure thing. Thanks, Greg. Happy to be here. Maybe not too happy for some of the games we're about to cover today. But so we are covering essentially the very important and main installments of the Rayman franchise after the original trilogy. The first starting with Raving Rabbids, then moving on to Rayman Origins and Legends, then the Mario and Rabbids series. And then, of course, moving on to the Captain Laserhawk television show that was just released.
It was like a month ago?
Yeah,
like
that, a month before this recording. Yeah.
I'm going to save my thoughts for that segment, but it's not pretty. So
I'm really curious to hear your thoughts about that.
Yeah, okay. So let's start with Rabbids. Also, before you go in and start this, this section to me, not only are we going to talk about Rabbids a little, we are going to talk about the cancellation of Rayman 4. So, Nick, why don't you start and then we'll suss it out from there.
Yeah, sounds good. All right, thanks, Greg. So the first Rayman game after Rayman 3 was called Raving Rabbids. It began when the studio head, who we mentioned last episode as a Michelle Ansel. Yeah. He had like a concept for a little rabbit character, and that quickly turned into this actually a very strange creature called a rabbit. If people listening, if you've never seen it, it's like this white little being with big floppy ears and very creepy teeth. It's kind of an unsettling little thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I guess that's his vision of like an evil Minion Disney character.
I was gonna say that.
It's something like that.
They really do remind me of Minions, and they're basically there to like perform mischief. They're troublesome, meddlesome kind of guys.
It's not too different than the Hoodlums from 3.
No, it's not too different
at
all.
Well, I should say visually they're very different, but you know, it's just more guys causing havoc, you know?
more guys causing
mischief.
Just like our favorite game, Rayman 3.
Oof.
So originally, this was, it's going to be a traditional platform game like we've seen before with Rayman, and it was tentatively called Rayman 4. Greg, do you want to get into this a little bit?
Yeah, so I was, maybe I forgot about it, but I didn't realize that Rayman 4 ever got announced. It actually did. I believe it was 2005.
Yeah.
And I was also kind of surprised that Michelle Ansel was behind Rabbids, because we'll talk about in a few minutes. This game kind of turned out to be more of a party game and more of a game filled with mini games. So the original concept for Rayman 4 was it was going to be another 3D platform game. And there is actually like some prototypes of it that exist. And so they were leaked in like 2021 and 2022. So I actually watched a lot of it.
Oh.
And Rayman 4, there's only like really raw prototype data or footage. And what it looks like is it kind of looks like Rayman 2 and 3 with like some Halo vehicles. It's really weird.
Wait, what?
Halo but it's only vehicles? Prototype footage, so it's hard to really say like what it would be or what it could be. There also was like a health and mana system in place, but it's a prototype. So all it says is health and mana and a number. Like there isn't like, you know, there isn't much of like a visual interface. It doesn't really show you what they do or why. It's just in the footage.
Hmm.
And so from what I understand, like Rayman 4 was in development for a few months. And then when the Wii dev kits arrived, I guess this game being a traditional platformer was axed. And I'm putting words into Michelle's mouth here, but I think when they saw the motion controls and how much of a mess developing for the Wii was, they said, fuck it, we're going to do like a shovelware party game, because that's most of what the Wii's discography was. Is discography even the right word?
Never heard Discography being used for video games. But you know
it's
what?
It's fine.
We'll use it. Yeah, so it turned into Rayman Raving Rabbids, which is, like you said, a little bit more of a party game.
Well, I should say this. Yeah. Like, Rayman Raving Rabbids, it was actually going to be the 3D platformer. It was the same name. So they just actually kept the name, ditched everything That's else right. about it. What's also interesting, before we move on to what Raving Rabbids ended up being, Rayman 4 was actually supposed to be a retelling of Rayman 1 in a 3D space.
Oh, interesting. So,
but, you know, blah, blah, blah. It went from Rayman 1 in a 3D space to, no, we're going to do this Rabbids from space, like, alien thing.
Yep.
And then, no, we're going to keep the Raving Rabbids title, but it's now a party game. And that's where we are.
That's a lot.
That is where we are.
Kind of as chaotic as the Rabbids ended up being.
Yeah, correct.
But anyway, so then Raving Rabbids became kind of, I don't want to call it a series, but there were multiple Rabbids games that came after this one.
Yes.
And eventually they dropped Rayman from the branding entirely.
I know. Isn't that strange?
Very sad. And I hate saying this, but it almost became more popular because Raving Rabbids was very popular.
Isn't that weird? Like, I always think of it as like a Wii shovelware game, but it sold like 14 million copies.
Oh yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Massively popular game.
Like, all we're going to do is disparage it for the next like 30 minutes, but like, it was hugely popular.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't know. I think we're mostly disparaging it because they got rid of our guy Rayman eventually.
It's mostly like personal, like pitiful behavior from us, or it's just like we're just mad that it's not a Rayman game, so now we don't like it.
That's right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Did you want to talk a little bit about how like Rabbids is put together? Like, I have a little bit of it.
Yeah, let's
I've
do
played
that.
Maybe 30 seconds of it in my whole life.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I mean, from what I understand, like, I mean, it's made up of like 75 mini games.
Yeah,
you can play it as a story mode, or you can just play it individually as a party game. And it's made up of like, there are some first person shooter segments. All the platforming is actually taken out. There's like no adventuring anymore at all. There's just these, I know, it's almost like a collection of 75 Mario Party games. And that's, I don't know what else you have in terms of this.
That's basically what I was gonna say about it. It's a series of party games, and allegedly it's pretty good. People like it.
I mean, do you have anything about how the Rabbids sequels are any different, or do you care? Like, I personally don't care.
No, not in particular. As far as I'm concerned, they're all very similar. And when they eventually drop the Rayman name, I eventually stopped caring about
them. Yeah, exactly.
That's kind of how it works.
So why don't we get into... Now, are we calling that the bad or the ugly? It's probably the...
What's really
I think it's bad. It's no, I don't know.
I don't know either, because like...
It was
commercially,
kind of,
it's good.
Kind of well received too. Yeah.
Commercially, it's good.
Fine,
but to us, it's not good.
To us, it's not.
I mean, that's kind of a theme for the show. Commercially,
you're not wrong. That's actually a really good quote. Like, what did you say? Like, so commercially, it's good, but to goddamn GameCube, it's not good. But that's kind of this whole show.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah, it's pretty much the whole show.
That's right. Exactly.
Okay, so I think the best thing to do is to move on to what I think is universally considered good, which is Rayman Origins and Legends.
Yeah.
So, Nick, why don't you start there? They're very similar games, but you can kick it off.
Yeah, let's do it. All right. So Rayman Origins, released in 2011 for PS3, Xbox 360, and the Wii. And then some other versions. There was a 3DS version and a PS Vita version released in the next couple of years. This game remarks the return of Michel Ancel, who famously, of course, did not really develop Rayman 3, and he eventually came off of the project during the span of the Rabbids.
Yeah,
and now he's back for this game.
It kind of looks like his work.
It does.
It plays like it, too. Yeah. I think I brought this up when we were going over Rayman 1, the original. Mm. Rayman Origins is like they're trying to do 1 again, but it's modern and fresh, and you know, it feels like a new platform or new style.
Yeah, and the levels are very reminiscent of the levels from Rayman 1, which we'll get into. So, technically speaking, this is the fourth main installment of the Rayman series. So if you want to call it Rayman 4, I guess you could. It's not really officially called that, but it is the fourth
one.
You're
not wrong.
Yeah. Yep. It is the fourth one. And it's the first game in that series since Hoodlum Havoc in 2003.
So 8 years?
It's been a long time since mainline Rayman came out. So, Greg, I want to ask you. It had been a long time since Rayman, we'd done anything with Rayman. Like, Rayman 2 was really the last game we played, and that was in 99. How did this game get on yours and then my radar?
Okay,
how
did we even do this? Is how I remember this.
Yeah.
I feel like you and I have had this conversation a lot on the show. We have to talk about who bought this and why we played it
probably
together.
Yeah.
I think I think this was in circa 2016, 2017, or maybe a little bit before then. It was one of these things where like GameStop was doing a holiday special where, hey, you know, buy four or five games, you get, you know, one game free, or buy two, get one free. And I think I bought six games and Origins was one of them. I missed this when it came out. I didn't bother. I didn't care that Rayman was coming out in 2011. You know, we were in college. We were cool.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, we were playing Skyrim.
And then 10 years later, Skyrim's not cool to us.
And now Rayman's cool.
Yeah. It's really funny how like, you know, things kind of reverse on themselves.
That's right.
But anyway, I think in 2011, 2012, I didn't care that this came out. I'm pretty positive I bought this in the 2016 era ish. Kind of, was it right around then?
I think you're right, because I don't remember playing this. You know, 2011, we were in college. I don't remember playing this while we were in college. I don't think we did.
I think you were moved out of our mom's house at this point. I think you were.
And I would come over every now and again to play this game.
I think so.
I think is how that worked.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, so let's get into some gameplay a little bit, because while it is reminiscent of Rayman 1, there's some interesting aspects to it, I think. In the same vein, it is a side-scrolling platformer, except it is a multiplayer game. And I would say it's the preferred way to play these games.
For sure. I mean, so there's a couple of things I kind of want to say right off the bat, if that's okay.
Of course.
This is one of the games that I can... Okay, let's say you have someone over your house that doesn't really game, but they want to try it. Mm-hmm. This is actually the game that I show them, because the controls are very simple and easy to understand, but the game is actually really hard. How I consider this is, yeah, there's a run button, a jump button, and a punch button. And that's really all that you do. But the game does a really good job of getting faster and faster and expecting more and more from you. What I also think is really cool is that if anything touches you, it's game over. But if you have a co-op buddy with you, if you get touched by an enemy, you become like a bubble. And then like if you go near your co-op buddy and your buddy punches you, you get unbubbled and you're immediately back in the game.
And that's pretty sweet.
I think it's really fun. It's also a really cute way to handle how hard the game is. Mm-hmm. Where if you play with a buddy, yeah, you're going to die over and over and over. But if you keep, you know, getting your buddy out of the bubble, the pace never really stops.
No, that's actually a really great point you bring up. The pacing is excellent.
And the pacing is not only excellent, they do a really good job of going from the game is slow and easy to the game is like, it's difficult and fast paced, but you've got a handle on it because the controls are easy. And I think they do a good job of is you're very rarely out of the action. Mm-hmm. Even when you get a game over, there's no loading screen.
You're nothing.
Immediately reloaded with a checkpoint.
You're right back in. The checkpoints are relatively generous. There might be a few throughout the game that are a little like, but you're generally thrown right back into the action, generally pretty
right
close
where you started.
To where you died, where you game over, however you want to call it. But generally the gameplay of this, I mean, while it's incredibly simple, it's also incredibly effective.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of like those early Raymans, right? Like Rayman 1 and 2. Rayman 1 was, of course, incredibly hard, but Rayman 2 is great. And, but they're also simple at their core,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, very.
There's not like a ton of controls, not a ton of things you have to do, but they make the most out of this very simple gameplay.
I think before we move on to anything else, I do want to, there are some funny like brother moments that we always have when we bring this up now.
Yeah, let's
we
do
might
it.
As well. Where you and I had some really funny phrases when we play this game, because there's some quirky gameplay elements that they don't explain to you, but they kind of happen naturally.
Right.
Where like if I jump and then you jump above me and I punch you, you go higher.
That's right.
And so like there are some obstacles where we're like, I'll jump, Nick will jump, I'll keep punching him so he keeps going up and up. And I remember Nick and I, you just hear us yelling like, give me the boost.
The boost.
Yeah, give me the boost. Like, and then we would always call that the boost. And we're not really sure if that's actual gameplay or it's like emergent content. We're not really sure. Where I don't think you're supposed to do that, but maybe you are. I don't know how you'd beat this game single player.
That's what I'm saying too. I feel like this game solo is really
difficult.
This
game's gotta be fucking brutal.
I'm actually not sure if they do some sort of adaptive difficulty if you have two players. I don't think that's the case.
No.
But wow, yeah, this must be absolutely brutal to play as a single player.
I mean, this is one of the most fun games that you and I have played side by side, but I don't really know what it would be like if it's one hit death and it's only me. It's got to be a lot slower.
It's probably pretty slow, and dare I say, it may not be as good.
May not be as fun.
If it's single player, yeah,
that's
true. I don't know. And like, I've always been so curious about, you know, using the boost, as we call it. There's like, I don't want to call it friendly fire because you can't you know,
you can't game over your partner by punching them.
Right. But you can hit them and they'll react to it.
Yeah.
Like if I accidentally hit you and you fall off the cliff, you will die.
Yes.
But and if I accidentally hit you up, you can go a little bit higher than normal to maybe grab something. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if the devs really intended multiplayer to do that. Maybe it's just an added benefit.
I don't know. I have no idea.
But either way, it's great. It's never explained anywhere. You just kind of happen upon it and it's fantastic. So I know the gameplay is relatively simple. Is there anything else you wanted to say about it before we kind of jump into the, I'll call it story. The story in this game is pretty light, but
I mean, no, I don't really think there's much. It's a platformer. You die in one hit, but with co-op, you can keep getting each other back and the pace doesn't really stop. And that's really all you need to know.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
That's it. All right. So we'll move on to story and the levels you kind of get yourself into.
Yeah,
when
sure.
You're playing
a
Rayman
quick overview
Origins.
Here.
Yeah. All right. So at the very beginning, you start off as Rayman and Glubox and a couple of teensies are hanging out with you. And you are sitting with our old friend from Rayman 2, Pelokas.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They call him the Bubble Dreamer in this game, but it is the same guy. Maybe they kind of rebranded him. I don't know.
Yeah.
He's if you don't remember, from Rayman 2, Pelokas is the guy you give the masks to save the world. Mm-hmm. And now I guess he's your buddy. You just kind of hang out and, you know, sleep by the snoring tree. However, Rayman snores a little bit too loud, and some flower picks up his snoring, which alerts the world of the undead, also known as Land of the Livid Dead, which is the same place slash name as the one found in Rayman 3.
Okay.
A little continuity here, which is nice. And they attack. And that is the premise of the game. You have to now defend the Glade of Dreams and the world from
and
these
so
undead
you defend
people.
The Glade of Dreams by really just running really fast through paintings?
That's right. And I mean, pretty much. So basically, when in the initial segments, Rayman and his friends do fight back against these undead, but they lose and they're captured, but not by Robo Pirates. Not this time.
Mm-hmm.
Then Rayman does another great escape where he escapes and sees these enemies who are now introduced as Darktoons that have captured the new sort of collectible in this game known as Electoons. It's interesting. They function similarly to Lums from the previous games, but Lums are still here.
Yeah.
They just do a different thing.
Yep.
Which is interesting. Electoons also never come back again after this game, as far as I'm aware. So it's a little strange that they're included, but that's okay. So then you run into Batia or Batilla. I'm not sure how you pronounce it. The nymph and her sisters. They are plunged into the Glade of Dreams and everything is chaos. So this causes Pelokas to have nightmares. And that is, they say that is the cause for all the bad things happening.
Oh, okay.
When he dreams, bad things happen in the Glade of Dreams.
Got it.
And
so it's like Alan Wake?
Yes. Actually,
it's very similar.
And they actually reveal in this game that Pelokas is the one who a bad dream actually made Jano from Rayman 2.
Oh, interesting.
That is, yeah, they kind of explain that in this one, which is interesting.
Isn't it like the Swamp of Bad Dreams is where, right?
Yes.
Or something like that?
Yes.
I forget what the level's called.
Yep, pretty much. So essentially, Rayman and his friends are tasked by the magician, who was actually in Rayman 1.
Mm-hmm.
He looked more like Rayman in that game, but now in this one, he's rebranded.
Yeah, there's a lot of rebranding. Yeah. It's been 8 years.
Yeah, it's been a while. He's rebranded into more of a teensy looking guy instead of Rayman, which is totally cool. And then our old friend Murphy is back as well to guide you along. And now, thankfully, Murphy is not his Rayman 3 incarnation. He's kind of back to the way he was in Rayman 2, which if you listen to our episode about our last episode, where we talked Rayman 3, we disparaged this version of Murphy quite heavily.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I was pretty glad to see that we are not.
So he's no longer a womanizer and a racist.
No.
And, like, he dropped that. He figured that out.
That's right. Yeah. You know, he went through a tough time, went through his edgy teenager phase. Yeah. But now he's back. He's mature now.
He matured through the Bush years.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, my God.
That's really funny.
So essentially you go through all these worlds and your job is to save all the nymphs, who then give you all these power-ups that if you've played Rayman, you're familiar with, like gliding, power-up punches, all that good stuff. I do want to note the nymphs all have really funny wordplay names. Like you've got Helena Handbasket, Hallelujah, and Annetta Fish.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
And is that like when you, when you sort of save each one, that's when the controls get more complicated,
yes.
right?
Because
at the beginning
things.
Of the game, you can't glide when you start.
Yes, that's true.
That's kind of how they slowly teach you the gameplay too, and it's not very overwhelming.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, you can basically only walk and jump at the beginning. As you save the nymphs, you get a little bit more mm-hmm. power
a little bit
ups,
more to do.
A little bit more to do, and that's when the level starts to get more complicated. So the worlds are the Gibberish Jungle, Gormand Land, the Sea of Serendipity, the Mystical Peak, and then you have the Four Kings, not to be confused with Dark Souls Four Kings. Funnily enough, they came out in the same year.
They did come out the same year.
Which is very interesting. But thinking of like the Four Kings in Rayman style, like the Dark Souls mm-hmm. Four Kings would be kind of fun.
It would be kind of fun.
I'm not saying it works in a similar way in this game, but it kind of does.
Yeah, it's not too different.
When the Four Kings unlock, it's basically you go to every one of the levels and fight a boss. Mm-hmm. So it does kind of become the Four Kings.
There's some like maybe some similar origins there. Yeah. Rayman origins.
Yeah, I like it. Mm-hmm. I like it. And then you finish off the game by going to the Moody Clouds. And if you unlock it, there is a secret level at the end where you go to the land of the Livid Dead. In the Moody Clouds, however, you discover that the magician, the guy who's been helping you all along, he turns traitor.
Oh, there's a rug pull.
He's been pulling the strings the entire time.
Yeah.
It's actually very funny when you find like his little, it's kind of like Wizard of Oz-esque. You go into his little chamber, you find out he's been doing everything. He has like Mr. Dark propaganda posters
That's
all
funny.
Over his wall.
That's really weird.
He has like, you know, I heart Mr. Dark or love Mr. something. All that sort of stuff just plastered everywhere. So essentially, the magician from Rayman 1, who was a good guy, has turned evil mm-hmm. in this game. And you must now defeat him in the Moody Clouds. But once you beat that final challenge, the credits roll. You beat them. His warship crashes. And your characters resume their little slumber.
They kind of just go back to taking a nap.
And you know what?
That's great.
That's all we can really ask for, honestly. Going on adventure and then just wanting to go right to sleep.
Let me bring up like one aspect of sort of how the gameplay brings you through the story, which I perhaps should have mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of a Mario 64 thing going on here where in each level you have to save a blue. They're called teensies.
Teensies.
So in each level, there's a certain amount of teensies that you can save. They're not mandatory.
Yeah.
So if you remember Mario 64, how you need a certain amount of stars to go to the next level.
Yes.
You need a certain amount of total teensies saved or a certain amount of lums, to go to actually continue the levels.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives you not only some incentive to play them again, but you have to try. You can't just run through the levels and just suck. Like what I think is really kind of iconic in this game, there's some very iconic sounds.
Yes.
Like when a teensy is near you, you hear like this little squeaky guy yelling for help, which is interesting. So this game also does a lot of like little secret areas that are off camera, or you have to get into these little, you know, crevices and little kind of places to find them.
Yeah.
So, you know, long story short here, when you go through these levels, you have to save a certain amount of teensies to get through the levels to see this ending.
Yeah, that's true.
But you don't need them all.
No, you don't need all of them. And I'm glad you mentioned like collectibles, the teensies and all that. There is one other collectible. It's called Red Skull Teeth.
Mm-hmm.
They're found through these treasure chests throughout the levels. If you collect enough of them, the final level, the Land of the Livid Dead, will unlock. It's not really part of the main story. It's more of a secret level where you fight a secret boss and then you save a secret nymph. It's not the true final boss or anything. It's just a secret. And then it reveals a really cool credit roll where it kind of pulls a Super Smash Brothers where you can interact with the credits.
Oh, yeah.
You can like swing around on the credits, use them for platforming. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
That is really cool.
It is very cool.
Yeah. So that's really it with Origins. Do you have anything, any other else you want to say about Origins before I move on to Rayman Legends?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think what's interesting about this game in terms of when we played it was back in 2015, 2016, whenever we played this, I think I said to you, this is some of the most I've laughed playing a game, like, and not because it's stupid or like, even, come on, there's no like voice acting.
No.
There's barely any text either.
Nope.
It just, I had so much fun just like laughing and jumping and running and punching, where it's kind of an intangible quality of the game, where if you've I feel like a lot of gamers out there have heard that these games are good, but haven't really played them. Where I would say, like, if you're looking for a couch co-op game, this is up there with the best ones of the past 10 years.
I would agree. And I'm glad you said something about the humor, too, because we saw with Rayman 3, it got into some very, like...
Not funny humor.
Borderline not funny, borderline very offensive humor.
Yeah.
But this game kind of took a return to form from, like, Rayman and Rayman 1, mm-hmm. where there's humor, but it's tasteful.
Well, also, I will say this, too, like, but it's the kind of humor where I'll call it emergent humor, where you and I are laughing and having a good time playing it, so now we think it's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Exactly. So I'm going to go back to this too. I'm really glad you mentioned in the beginning that this game wasn't really on our radar for a while.
Yeah.
Because this game did not do very well at first.
Yep.
It was the kind of game that did better over time.
Yep.
Which I thought was really interesting. Yeah. It took a few years for this game to really find its footing.
It's gotten popular ever since it became like free on gold.
Yeah. It's really interesting because they still planned a sequel despite sales maybe not being exactly what they wanted. According to sources, it did okay enough for them to make a sequel, but it didn't really get popular until some years later.
You know what makes me feel kind of weird?
Yeah.
So Rayman Origins didn't do super well, but they still made Legends.
They did.
But Legends did awesome, and now they've done nothing.
I know.
Which is why we're about to talk about Legends.
That's right. Yeah, so we'll jump into Rayman Legends. We'll save grades for the end,
talk about them both.
Yeah, we'll save grades for that part. So let's talk about Rayman Legends. It released in 2013, so not a very long development cycle for this.
No.
So like I said, they saw the initial sales of Rayman Origins and still wanted to make this game.
That's interesting.
It is interesting. And you know what? I applaud them for it. I feel like it was kind of a passion project. Like, they really liked it.
Well, we should say this too. Like, if this is 2013?
2013. Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. I feel like that's kind of the end for Ubisoft for me. Is kind of right there, right?
Yeah.
Right?
I think you're
wrong.
Right. You're kind of
like
right.
Like Assassin's Creed's 07, like 2 is 09, Origins and Legends 11, 13. Then it kind of becomes a disaster the past 10 years.
Yeah, it's like Rayman Legends was the last thing holding back the Ubisoft disaster.
Well, actually, I'll say this because I'm never going to get another chance.
Okay.
Like Child of Light was pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, that's all we're going to say about it.
That's all we're going to say about Child of Light.
It was similar times, like 2014.
Never to go back to Riley's Child of Light, Rayman.
Yeah. Thank you.
So, like I said, released in 2013, and it is a direct sequel to Rayman Origins. It literally follows up the story of that game. It has very similar gameplay. The main difference here is there is a new barbarian character named Barbara.
Yep.
That you can now control whether using with Rayman, Globox, the Teensies, however else you want to characters you want to control. And a welcome addition is Murphy is now semi-playable.
Yeah.
If you're playing on the Wii U, he can be controlled by using the gamepad by another person.
That's
kind
cute.
Of as like a, not really a person, like a party member, but kind of a guy who maybe helps out every now and again. And there are a few puzzles where you need to utilize Murphy's assistance.
Yep.
Which is great. Love seeing Murphy in there. A definitive edition of this game came out on the Switch in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like even though the definitive edition didn't really add a ton to the game, I feel like this game really popped off after that was released. I feel like a lot of people talk about it now.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. This game seemed to grow into multiple platforms and kept growing.
Yeah, and it received basically worldwide critical acclaim.
Yes.
Like low 90s on all the reviews.
It's well-deserved.
Well-deserved, and... and like, well done by the guys for making a very good sequel.
Because we
game.
Haven't even really talked about this with Origins and Legends, just so the audience knows, they're very similar.
They are very similar
but
games.
We shouldn't, it shouldn't be understated. Like, these games look amazing too.
That's true.
And they also run like very, I don't know what the right word for this is. They run so smooth and they get so, let me quote our friend John.
Yeah.
Where remember, I think you were there for this. We were playing one of either the final levels of Origins or one of the final levels of Legends.
Yeah.
And he said, my brain cannot process how fast information is coming on the screen.
That's right. That's right. He did say that.
It is impressive, like how well optimized it is and how awesome it looks.
No, you're right. You're right. We definitely should have mentioned that. It's like, not only is it really fast and really, and the pacing just never really lets up. It looks good doing it. And
it's optimized.
Yeah. And it's very well optimized.
And the reason I'm bringing up now is Legends, not only are they similar games, Legends kind of doubles down on what Origins did. And it's now like they put their sort of foot to the gas pedal of visually crazier.
Yeah.
Like it's even faster. Like, and it's still successful and not overwhelming.
Yeah, because some of the effects that you see, like the dragon shooting fire, the things flying at you all the time, it's incredibly effective.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's kind of scary. It's like, oh, gotta jump. Let's go.
Hey, everybody, you hear like when you put a AAA budget into a platforming game, it's good.
I know, right?
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Before, I don't want to take this too far off
That's
topic.
Okay.
Are there any other AAA platforming games? Is this the only one?
I mean,
am I crazy?
You're talking like Mario, but
I mean,
aside from like Mario,
okay, like okay, third party AAA platforming games. I'll make it even harder.
Oh man,
none.
I don't think there's too
especially
many
in the past 10 years.
I mean, Crash Bandicoot got a re-release.
That's true. If you're not named Mario, there are not very many.
No, I mean, there's the other like second tier ones, like the Crash Bandicoots of the world, but like
not really.
We haven't seen too much of that recently.
That's true.
No, but you're right. I don't think you see too many of these third party or even AAA platformers these days.
It's platform games that get a ton of budget.
Yeah,
no way.
Keep in mind,
this is also 10 years ago.
Yes, that's true.
So anyway,
and honestly, this game doesn't look like it came out almost 10 years
ago. No, because the art style is really wonderful.
Yeah, but actually, is it literally 10 years ago?
I believe so.
It is literally 10 years ago. The art style is wonderful. It runs great. When you play this game, you don't feel like you're playing a game from 2013.
No way. Yeah, you're right. Where did you want to go next with Legends?
Yeah, so we already kind of talked about gameplay and art. The gameplay
is largely the same.
Is largely very similar. I mean, I think that it's really hard. Do you think that's a detriment to this game where they didn't really change the gameplay at all? It's almost the same experience. I don't want to say the same.
Yes,
but it's
and no.
Similar.
I'm going to bring up one positive now because I do want to bring it up at some point. This game is more or less the same as Origins. Yep. However, they did do a cool thing. I'd like to bring it up now, if that's okay.
Let's do it.
There are a few levels that are actually music and audio based.
Yes.
Which are really, it's really, really tasteful. So I have in here that I believe there are six music based levels.
I believe you're right.
And what's really interesting is that you jump and platform to the rhythmic musical moments of the songs.
It's almost like a rhythm game.
Kind of.
At that point.
Like, you know, if you jump on a platform, a cymbal crashes.
Yeah.
Like, if you're sliding down a thing, a shredding guitar solo plays in rhythm to the sliding.
Yeah.
And what I think is interesting is, I don't know if you know this, but some of the songs are not original. Some of the songs are from, I'm going to call it real life.
Oh, yeah, yes, like, that's right. That's right.
Like
some of them
you
are
play
parodies.
Black Betty.
Yes.
Like you yes. play an acoustic version of Eye of the Tiger.
Wait, really?
Yeah, you do.
That's awesome.
Which is interesting.
That's
and
awesome.
Some of the songs are original. Some of them are not. Some of them are, you know, licensed,
I guess,
is the word.
Sure.
But they're all, I don't know. I don't know what it is where it's just, this game is so tasteful and so, what's the word? I feel like you got to go like A for aesthetic here.
Absolutely.
For like visual and sound.
I think Origins has decent sound, but I think they really took it to the next level with Legends, especially with these almost rhythmic levels.
Yeah, that's a good way to rhythm game levels.
Yeah. And you know, they tend to be the levels that we show people when come over and they want to see the
game.
Yeah,
you're like, hey, I want to show you Rayman Legends. Let's do, what was it?
Castle Rock.
Castle Rock. I think that's the Black Betty one.
Yes, Castle Rock.
I think that's right.
Castle Rock is the Black Betty one. And honestly, from what I know about this game, they're also not that difficult.
No.
They're almost faster
than
the regular levels too. Because would you call them on rails?
Yes.
A little bit, right?
Yeah, the music levels are on rails.
Yeah.
Where there's something either chasing you or the left side of the screen is going to get you unless you keep moving to the music.
Yeah.
It's cool.
It's really cool. It's really cool.
Wherever you want to go next.
All right. So let's hop into the story again. Same as Origins. Story's pretty light here.
30-second overview here.
Yeah, we're not going to get into too much here. So basically, Rayman and his friends are awoken by Murphy after 100 years. So it's been 100 years since Origins. They've been sleeping for 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could have told me it was 20 and I would have believed you, but whatever, I guess. The Glade of Dreams, again, is a disaster. And it's overrun with nightmares and monsters. They've again created these elaborate worlds within the Glade of Dreams, and they've wrecked havoc by capturing every teensy again. And the dark magician from before, who apparently he got away in the lasting bits of Origins, and now he has turned to five dark teensies instead of the one dark magician.
Mm-hmm.
And these five teensies have gone on to make five different worlds, and they're causing havoc,
teensy havoc.
Yeah, teensy havoc.
Yeah,
Rayman Legends, teensy havoc. And they're wrecking havoc all over the world. Again, this is starring our good buddy, Pelocus, because he, again, his dreams are to blame for a few of the bad things going on. And now Rayman and his friends are tasked with going inside these worlds. You mentioned Mario 64 earlier. This game really takes a page out of Mario 64, where you are literally jumping into paintings.
Yep.
It's almost what I would say. Okay, could you have done something a little different and not jumping in paintings? But it's different enough where I'm like, okay, you know what? It's fine. But it is very similar.
I mean, to be honest, it's exactly the same.
It's exactly the same.
It's like the only difference is that the paintings are on easels and not just embedded into the wall.
That's right. Yeah, I said here it takes inspiration from Mario 64, but maybe it was a little bit more
than
inspiration.
It's actually exactly the same.
Actually the same game. Oh, that's funny. The one thing I really like, well, the one thing, I like a lot of things about the worlds. They tend to mimic popular like media. So, for example, the level Teensy's in Trouble, it resembles like your classic Knights and Dragons kind of fantasy. The next level, Toad Story, it sounds like Toy Story to me. I don't think they modeled it after that, but it kind of sounds like it. And there's a lot of like Beanstalk, so it kind of reminds me of Jack and the Beanstalk.
Oh,
and
sure.
Fairy tales.
They base it off like fairy tale worlds and stuff.
Yeah. Third level here is called Fiesta de los Muertos, where it's a food-based level, but it's more of like a Mexican theme.
Interesting.
Which is pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. And the main enemies are luchadors.
That's great.
Which I find pretty great. This is the level, now that I remember, this is the level that ends with Eye of the Tiger.
I think you're right.
Yes, this one's great. The next one is probably my favorite title of all of the ones. It's called 20,000 Lums Under the Sea.
It's pretty good.
Which is amazing. And all the levels kind of, they remind me of these old like spy movies, heist movies, where you got to avoid all these traps.
Yep.
And I think there's even monsters or enemies wearing spy gear.
I think you're correct.
Which is, maybe they're little sharks. I believe they're little sharks. It's really cool. And the last one is a level for us, is the Greek level.
Yep.
It's Olympus Maximus.
Very funny.
Very funny. It's inspired by art, architecture from the Greeks. There's even a labyrinth level in there, inspired obviously by the Minotaur and all that good stuff. And after you get through Olympus Maximus, you've taken out all of the little teensies, and for some reason they get sent to the moon.
Okay.
I don't really know what happens to them there.
They just get sent to the moon.
They just get sent to the moon, and that this kind of over.
Okay.
Then after you finish the Olympus Maximus level, you kind of just get like a musical number
and that's it.
And that's over. It's over. The game ends.
Yeah.
Again, like the last game, like Origins, there is a secret level where if you unlock enough teensies, you unlock, the true final level, which is again the Land of the Livid Dead.
Yep.
And then you can go through the secret bosses and whatnot.
Yeah.
But that's really it for the story. It's a bit light, just like Origins, but
I feel like the story in these games is really a vessel for you to see all the colorful levels to run through.
Oh yeah. I like to call them an excuse plot.
Nice.
Where it's like we made all these really cool levels, but now we need a reason for you to go to them.
Yeah.
And I think both Origins and Legends kind of do that. Honestly, if you're listening to this and you've done a deep dive into the lore of Rayman Origins and Legends, please let us know.
Yeah, but I don't think anyone will do that.
No, I don't think there's too much to dive into.
No.
So that's really it for Rayman Legends. Again, the gameplay is very similar. Aesthetically, it's awesome. Do you have any final thoughts on Rayman Legends?
I think we should maybe do final thoughts on Origins and Legends together
because
they're essentially the same game.
They're very similar. Yeah.
So, you know, we haven't really like been super effusive of our praise like in the past 30 minutes or so.
Yeah.
But I'm very high on both of these. Mm. It's one of these things where I feel like these are very understated games.
Yeah.
And do we dare like calling them like underrated commercially? Maybe. But I mean, critically, no. I mean, Legends is very well acclaimed.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, like my final thoughts on this duo of games is it's some of the most fun co-op I've played in the past decade. And I really recommend everyone should play them. And also, it's kid friendly. It's adult friendly.
That's true, too. Yep.
You could play it with anyone. People who don't really game and controls are difficult for them. You could play this with them, too. And that doesn't mean it's easy.
No.
Like I said in my notes that this game is approachable, but that doesn't mean it's easy. It really isn't. And nope. I think it's very engaging. What's the only flaw? That it's an excuse me plot, but does that matter?
Honestly, I give it a pass because when I play a game like this, I'm not really looking for
really
the
care.
Plot. Don't really care about that.
Yeah.
Again, I'll evoke what our co-host Riley tends to say. As long as the plot doesn't get in the way of it, sometimes you can kind of excuse that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like if they had really tried to shoehorn a plot like dialogue and info dumping and everything into this game, I think it may have gotten a little tiresome, but they didn't do that. They just kind of let the game be on its own.
I mean, I think that the one sentence I have for these games, it's just a faster Mario.
I mean,
and I think at the time I was telling people this is Rayman right now is better than what Mario is right now.
I would agree. I think these games, they really grew into popularity. Like, man, when did Super Mario, like New Brothers?
Same times, like 2014.
Yeah. And I didn't think those games are great. They're okay.
You know what? That, yeah. I'm glad you brought that up, because we have to really frame Rayman Origins and Legends about when they came out, which is 2011 to 2014-ish.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, I think at that time, Rayman was outdoing Mario when it came to platforming, because we played that like New Super Mario Bros. Wii U or whatever. It's very slow and plodding.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's not good, but I think Rayman Origins and Legends, for me, I just thought they were immensely better.
They were definitely, for me, I guess for us, definitive platformer of those few years.
I think so.
And I think they really did overtake Mario's spotlight when it came to that.
At least until, you know, Odyssey and all that stuff.
Yes, of course. But it's really strange, because I want to call them underrated, but I don't know.
I mean, commercially, critically, no.
Yeah, but it's like, man, I just wish more people knew about them. I feel like the internet knows a lot
about them. I feel like everyone knows about them, and no one plays them.
Yeah, which is kind of sad. It's kind of,
I don't know anyone who's beaten them. We've beaten both.
That's right. Unfortunately, I think that's kind of what Rayman is.
Yeah.
A lot of people know about him, but not a lot of people have played or beaten the games.
Correct.
Unfortunately.
All right. Do you want to go into grades, and we'll move on?
Yeah, sure.
Do you want to go? This might sound too flippant of me, but I might go back-to-back A's.
Yeah?
How do you feel?
So my only... I don't have an issue with these games, but I'm
ahead.
I don't know. I always struggle with like a game, a sequel just being the same.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
They didn't really do anything innovative. Well, I shouldn't say that either, because they have the music levels and their aesthetics.
But it's 6 levels out of like 100.
I know. And we should mention too, if you play Legends, you actually do unlock access to play all of Origins Worlds as well.
Which is interesting.
Which is pretty cool. But like, man.
I'm trying to think though, but like, it's an excuse me plot or an excuse plot.
Yeah.
But what the goal, how do I put this? I'm trying to frame my grade about what the goal of the game was and what was their thesis statement.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, they crushed it, right? I feel like I'm never this easy.
This is funny, because you just used the word thesis statement when talking about Rayman Origins.
Correct.
Which I find amazing. But you're right, though, because they set out to do a goal, and they accomplished
it
pretty
well.
I'm
never this easy.
No. The only other quote-unquote issue I might have with them is that playing solo is probably infinitely less fun than multi.
That's true.
But I don't know. But for me, that we played this multiplayer the whole time, and like you said earlier, playing Origins and Legends But it's like couch co-op. We didn't play this online. We played couch co-op.
Yeah.
Was some of the most fun I've had. And we've played a lot of co-op games.
Okay. I'm going to extend an olive branch to you here. Ooh, okay. If you would do this, I'm going to go A on Origins and A minus Legends, because it's a little tired.
Honestly, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Where Origins really set the groundwork, and I think it deserves a lot more praise than what it gets. You know what? I've got a great example.
Okay.
Another game we played co-op, Divinity.
Yeah.
Divinity 1, Divinity 2.
Yes.
Divinity 1 really laid the groundwork, but nobody played it.
Yeah.
Everybody, well, you know.
Everyone, they did.
Divinity 2, way more popular than Divinity 1. Of course, it's a great game, but people kind of ignore the amazingness that is Divinity 1.
Well, you should be clear. It's Divinity Original Sin 1 and 2. Nobody played Divinity 1 and 2.
Nobody
played those.
That's right. I'm
sorry. But you're exactly right. Where this is not the Divinity episode. But like, you and I, there's also the same era, 2015.
Yes, that's true.
So good year for co-op for us.
Very.
It's one of these things where we wax poetic about Divinity Original Sin 1 and no one cares.
Yep.
But then the entire internet played Divinity Original Sin 2. And then on goddamn GameCube, we're trying to convince you it's not as good.
That's right.
That's exactly what we fucking do, though.
Yeah. We're not saying that Legends is not as good as...
We are.
Are we? I guess we kind of are.
I like how we just said, dude, the music levels are amazing. This game is so thoughtful. It's not as good.
It's not as good.
Well, it's you know what it is? It's just there's a little bit of you did this 18 months ago.
It's like you already did this.
It's the same game.
Yeah. But you kind of made it better. Which is weird.
I know. But you know what it is? Okay.
Yeah.
It's, I'm not going to call it $60 DLC because it is so thoughtful.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But I want to be done with this. I'm going A on Origins and A minus on Legends. Yep. And you just need to tell me whether you agree or not.
I agree with that. I mean, I don't think I can give this game any lower than A's or A minuses because of how much fun we have.
There's no problem with them.
No.
So, great. Okay. Let's move on to, I'm, So I'm not sure if the next thing is good or bad or ugly.
Oh, we have to say, Rayman Origins Legends, definitely good.
Definitely good.
We got to make sure we get that out there.
That's in the good category.
Yeah, Raving Rabbids, bad. But Origins Legends, good.
Yeah.
All right. Next we're getting into is good.
Yeah, it's so good. We're talking about weird shit next, which is... Can I tell you what's really funny?
Yeah,
I actually don't really know what the actual name of these games are. I call them like Mario Rabbids. It's a tactics game. What is it actually called?
All right. So we are moving on to Mario and Rabbids, a very strange partnership. The first game is called Kingdom Battle.
Okay.
And the second game released in 2022 is called Sparks of Hope. Now, the first game, Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle, is one of the most surprising games I've ever played. And I think a lot of people would agree with me that it was so surprisingly good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure everybody thought this game was going to suck.
People thought it would be like a shoo-in crappy, like tie-in Mario and Ubisoft make money game.
Right.
No, but it's the opposite. It made no money. And it's really good.
You don't want to know why it made no money.
Because it's a tactics game on a grid.
I mean, ouch, but yes. The other reason it made no money, this game's always on sale.
You're
by
right.
By the way, if you ever want to play it, Kingdom Battle is always on sale for like less than $10.
Interesting.
It's great.
I'm going to say, before you even say anything about
the
game.
I've said nothing about it.
You've said nothing about it. I'm going to give you a marketing idea.
Okay.
They should have called this... I can't believe I'm saying this.
What are you saying?
They should have called this Mario Tactics featuring rabbits. Because if you called it Mario Tactics, everyone would buy it because it's Mario. And then you figure out it's a tactics game with rabbits.
Because the rabbits aren't even in the title. They may be on the box art somewhere, but you don't tell them anything about the rabbits. They just show
Mario
up.
Mario Tactics.
You know some dude in marketing thought about that.
We're going to call it that for the rest of the show.
That's right.
All right, keep going.
But then Ubisoft was like, you got to have the rabbits in there. Right. You got to have the title. It's like, fine.
I guess give us a quick overview of these games, because we're not going to say too much. No one cares about them.
Hey, listen, I care about them. Kind of.
Kind of.
Anyway, so I played Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle kind of on a whim. I got it as a gift and I was like,
it wasn't for me, was it?
No, it was not you.
I think I'd remember that.
Yeah, no, it wasn't from you, but I did get it as a gift. And you know what? I've said this before on the show. If it has a grid, I'm probably going to play it at some point.
We've said that many times.
Yeah. And this game fits the category. So Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle is a tactical shooter.
Yes.
Which is very weird to say.
It's a grid-based tactical shooter featuring Mario.
Featuring Mario. And the weirdest comparison I have is it plays kind of like XCOM.
It plays exactly like XCOM.
Yeah, okay. It is exactly like XCOM. And all of the characters, Mario characters included, have guns. It is really bizarre. So essentially, it stars... Genius Girl, who is a huge Super Mario fan, who has accidentally merged the worlds of Rabbids and Mario together with her device called the Super Merge.
Okay.
Rabbids invade the Mushroom Kingdom because the worlds have merged together. And now Mario has to team up with Rabbids who have taken, I don't want to say clones, but they've taken on the appearance of other Mario characters, such as Rabbid Luigi, Rabbid Peach, all that good stuff. And throughout the game, you gain a small team and fight as a team of three, always including Mario. And then the other two characters are of your choosing.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually super cool because every character has their own skill tree.
Oh, my God.
You level up. You have skill trees. Every character is so different. Like Luigi is a sharpshooter.
Wow.
Yeah. So he's a long distance sniper. And Rabbid Mario, who is literally a rabbit in Mario's overalls, is like this big guy who just goes up and punches people.
We should make it clear. Yep. I don't believe Rayman makes an appearance in either one of these games.
Rayman is not in Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle.
Yeah.
Rayman is in the sequel in a very recently released DLC.
Yeah, so he's not.
He's basically not in the game.
Basically not in it. Can you imagine like being Rayman on the sidelines and there's a Mario tactical shooter featuring Rabbids and you're not in it? Do you want to be in it if you're Rayman? I don't know.
That's a good lead in, but anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, just a little bit more about this game, because I do think more people should play the Mario and Rabbids series. I think they are definitely worth your time.
You're the only one who played them.
I think I might be the only. If you played this, let us know.
Please.
Either of them. Please let me know. I need to know somebody else who played this.
Yeah.
The only person I know who played it is Josh, who we played some multiplayer with.
Got it. Okay.
Yes, this game has multiplayer. So I'll say, just to cap it off, these games are actually very tactically satisfying. I wouldn't say the game is hard. Well, I say it plays like XCOM. It's not as mercilessly difficult as XCOM. It is still a Mario game. But it combines some really nice RPG elements with the skill trees, a nice party system where every single character plays so differently that you could go through the game multiple times with different setups and you'd have a very different experience. And I will also say there's some good laughs. They kind of took some cues from Origins, Legends, and games after Rayman 3 that this kind of humor is really the way to go with Rabbids. While yes, they still cause trouble, they're still these meddlesome little guys, all the humor is very tasteful. And I found myself, I was laughing while I was playing this game at their antics and at all the random stuff that happens during it. They may be a bit over the top, but I enjoyed my experience with them. Just really quickly, Mario and Rabbids Sparks of Hope is the sequel to Kingdom Battle. It plays very similarly to Kingdom Battle. So if you like that one, you'll very likely enjoy Sparks of Hope as well. That was very recent, released in October 2022. And its last DLC, which we just mentioned, came out pretty close to the time of this recording, which of course brings back one of our favorite dudes, Rayman.
Hell yeah.
So speaking of what you said earlier, Greg, about think if you are a Rayman sitting on the sidelines, we can now imagine maybe what went through Rayman's mind and what that did to his mental state as we get into what is probably the ugly part of our discussion. Greg, take it away.
Okay, so the internet was very mad about this. And so, I'll say this, like, this is like one of the few points where the internet and goddamn GameCube are aligned on this.
That never happens.
It doesn't happen that often. Where right now we're going to talk about something called Captain Laserhawk Blood Dragon Remix.
That sounds like an AI title.
It's the stupidest shit ever. Like, dude, it's funny. I'm totally disparaging it. I know people worked really hard on it.
I know.
So here we go. Yeah. Captain Laserhawk Blood Dragon Remix. There's a reason why we're talking about it. So it's an animated series made by... it's a Ubisoft series. It's like their media portion of their company, their television movie kind of faction of Ubisoft.
Yep.
So we'll just go really quickly here about why we're talking about this.
Yep.
So as we said, Rayman had not been in a game. It's now been 10 years. And so, however, he is now in a television show. And the reason why everyone is mad is what we're about to get into, where here, Captain Laserhawk is an alternate history that takes place in the year 1992. Earth is now called Eden. It's a dystopian I don't even know how to pronounce this. Technocracy. Yeah, it's like a technical with C-R-A-C-Y at the end. Technocracy.
So the world is
controlled by technology.
Technology. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
And it's everything's controlled by a mega corporation. Mm-hmm. It's inhabited by, I guess, animals and people, but the animals are like Rayman characters. Like, long story short, the story is loaded with Rayman, with Ubisoft side characters.
Okay.
Yep. Like Jade is in it. Like, and there's some Assassin's Creed stuff in it. Like there's that kind of stuff.
Yep.
And so, I'll say this, the phrase or the catch line for the show is forget what you know, embrace the remix.
Oh, God.
And so my response to that is fuck you.
Okay.
And the reason why my response is fuck you, this is a prepared statement.
Oh, okay.
And I said, this is, by that, I mean, this is in my notes for our preparation for this.
All right.
This is the horrible timeline where Ubisoft thinks the crass and raunchy content from Rayman 3 is the shit that people want.
No.
And this is, we're getting to the drum roll of why people are mad about this. Mm-hmm. And we're also mad about this. So Rayman is in this show. He's a newscaster, but he's also an alcoholic and a cocaine user.
Wait, this is not a joke. Yeah. Oh my God.
This is not a joke. Like, oh, I want, Nick, we need to be very serious.
Oh, sorry, serious face.
Rayman has some serious vices, substance abuse issues in this show.
Okay.
And it's probably it's the stupid idea. So here we go. So Rayman is voiced by this person named David Menken. I guess he's done a ton of voice work. He's been in a bunch of films as well.
His name sounds familiar.
So he just played Barnabas Tharmer in Final Fantasy
That's
16.
Where I know him. Okay, yeah. Okay.
He was also Luke in Lego Star Wars.
But that's Rayman's voice?
Yeah, in this show.
Whoa. Okay.
So we're going to go through some stuff really quickly about why, I guess, the internet and goddamn GameCube thinks this is a very distasteful, I guess, portrayal of Rayman. Rayman very frequently says words like fuck and and motherfucker and other adult language content.
Oh, my God.
There is... I'm laughing. I can't even get through this. These remarks are prepared and I can't really get through this. There's this, and I want to make sure our audience knows I watched this.
Yeah.
I watched this episode.
We're getting Greg's live reactions basically.
I watched this about an hour ago.
Right. This is almost live reaction from Greg after watching this show.
There's a scene of where Rayman is shooting guns and bloodily like killing people and bodying people. There's one cute moment where he does throw his fist at a guard.
Thank you.
Get a little bit of it.
Okay, all right.
And it's some kind of Assassin's Creed tie-in where he's killing like Assassin's Creed fascists and he's literally shooting them. It's bloody and weird. And so we're getting to the cocaine part.
There is a scene
where like it's a very iconic, almost like mobster movie scene where Rayman suddenly picks his head up from a table and he's covered in cocaine.
Jesus.
Like he does a bump of coke. It's really fucking
weird. He's doing lines off of Murphy or something.
And so there's another really like weird part where like Rayman, I guess the plot of this is Rayman he's going to be replaced by like an AI version of Rayman where the AI version of Rayman wears like a nice suit and he's like a really good newscaster. But the Rayman in real life is like this very like worn down like substance abuser.
Okay.
There's a scene where Rayman is in his apartment and I'm not kidding. He's eating sushi off a cow creature woman's ass.
Oh, I've seen the screenshot.
I think she's a sex worker. And he says he says a bunch of F-bombs and is eating sushi off her butt. And so I don't have a lot more to report here.
I have a lot of questions.
So I feel like what's going to happen is our audience is going to be like, what the fuck? And that's what I said. Or half our audience who are like the anime fans and be like, dude, no, the show is actually about blah, 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 blah.
Sure.
And so here's the thing. Here's what I want to say. Rayman has not been in a game in 10 years.
Yeah.
There's been a Mario Tactics shooting game with Rabbids and Rayman is excluded. Yeah. And the first thing that Rayman does is he's in a show where he's doing bumps of coke
and
shooting people with guns. And that's where we are in 2023.
With Rayman.
It's where, here's the thing though.
Okay.
I'm going to give you, I have no more on this. This is it.
Okay, this is it.
I'm going to give you this. It's possible that we're headed towards a Rayman revival. And I'm going to tell you why.
All right.
Because we just had Rayman DLC for Mario Tactical Shooter. Okay. This show just came out 2 months ago with Rayman in it. Rayman is sort of peeking around again.
Okay.
And it's possible we're going to get some more Rayman content. I don't have any faith that Ubisoft is going to make another 3D platformer Rayman game because they just don't make good games anymore. So, and everyone knows that. Like everyone, like listen to what I'm saying and internalize it.
Yeah,
okay. You know I'm right.
We know,
like, I hope you guys really like the online looter shooters they've been making. Ugh. Like, fuck you. Watch Dogs was so good. Fuck you. It's really bad. Anyway, so Nick, I do want to talk about one other thing before we wrap, which is there was a lot of rumors that Rayman was going to be in Smash and they didn't do it.
I hate that.
There isn't much to say about this. I believe Rayman become like a trophy in the game?
Yeah, he's a trophy side thing. Yeah, but they never made him to a character.
So this has now gone on like a delirious, like cocaine, like bump Rayman rant.
Yep.
So here's what's going to happen.
Okay.
Like we're going to do coke right now. Okay. I'm kidding. I'm
kidding. That's you got funny. The sushi?
Yeah. So what I want to say is where we are in 2023 with Rayman is 10 years ago, he was in a very tasteful, almost reboot of the franchise.
Yep.
And then he was left out of Rabbids Mario.
Yep.
And then he was brought back in a television show very distastefully.
Yep.
And he was left out of Smash as well.
Yes.
So what I'm going to ask you before we close is like, do you think we're ever going to get another Rayman entry beyond what I just said? Where clearly I don't think we're going to. But they keep teasing Rayman content, they as in Ubisoft. So say whatever you want before we hit pause here and end this.
Okay, so I do actually have a little bit of faith that we're going to get some Rayman content. I do. Like you said, they've been teasing it. Rayman, I mean, okay, so a question about the show. Is Rayman the main character of the show?
No, he's portrayed as not quite a villain, like an anti-hero. I'm not going to say Joel from The Last of Us, but it's a good analogy, I guess, because is he a good guy but does bad things?
Okay.
Either that one, it's kind of.
Is he a prominent character on the show?
Yeah, he's the newscaster for the world.
Okay, so he's got a lot of screen
time. He's a prominent character.
Okay, so they're showing him a lot of Rayman.
But like what I'm worried about is they're showing a lot of Rayman, but in a distasteful, like bad light, or I should say distasteful and bad for fans who like him.
Listen, when I said I had faith about there being another Rayman game.
You didn't tell me you were going to like what they were going to make.
Exactly. I didn't say it was going to be good.
No.
It could be another Rayman 3. Okay, this is my true thoughts about what we're going to see with another Rayman game, if anything. I think it will be a very simplistic, watered down 3D experience. I think it'll be an arcade game. I think
you're not wrong.
But it's not going to be like Origins or Legends. I don't think they'll really top those.
You've now become me where you use arcadey as a disparaging term.
In that last episode, I literally said I wasn't going to do it. Then I just did it now.
You just did
literally it. Happened last week. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just don't see them recapturing that magic. Do we know if Michel Ancel is back? Is he still there with Ubisoft? Is he still making Rayman content?
I looked that up.
I'm not aware that he is. If he is still involved with Rayman, I have hope. If he's not, though, because we saw what happened when he wasn't involved. We got Rayman 3, and then we got a lot of Rabbids.
Yeah.
Then we got Rayman 3, then no Rayman at all.
You're right.
Yeah. Then no Rayman.
So, I mean, do you have anything else to say? Because I have one final line to like end us, unless you have anything else.
My final thing to say is Rayman has had a very interesting history. I feel like he's had one of the more interesting video game character histories that I can recall off the top of my head. And I kind of feel bad for him.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think he deserves better than being some coked out substance abuser in a animated TV
on
show.
CNN.
On CNN. But I guess that's really all I have to say. I do like Rayman as a character, and I hope he gets treated right in the next couple years, but I don't have faith that they will.
I don't either. So I'd like to finish this with a Riley quote where he said, "Look at how they massacred my boy."
And that is so true.
Yeah. And so that's going to do it for goddamn GameCube. This was an interesting run of us talking about Rayman, you know, past the original trilogy. Hey, hopefully if our luck on this show continues, there will be another Rayman. It seems like whenever we talk about something, a company announces a sequel to the thing we talk about. It happened with Little Nightmares, Hellblade. Maybe it'll happen with this too. So that's going to do it for now. They massacred Rayman. And so I hope he gets help for his substance abuse issues. And we will see you next time on Goddamn GameCube. Thank you.